good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whoever, whenever, however, whatever you are, aliens, children's, monsters, and Marvel men alike. Welcome to What If Season 2, Episode 4 through 6 review. I'm honored and privileged to be with my co-host, Mr. Sports Jedi Network. How are you, sir?
What's up? And my pleasure is all mine for being with you there, man. I feel honored being next to you, getting to talk some Marvel comics. What if we never did a stream together? Where would we be?
Probably going crazy stuff and doing crazy things in Puerto Rico. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure to like, subscribe, comment. If you like it, leave a comment down below. If you don't like it, leave a comment down below. Don't be a looky-loo. Enjoy the madness with us. Today, we're going to go from episode 4, 5, and 6 in chronological order, obviously. And let me see if I can find the right one, which I think it's this one. No, sorry, this one. Sorry about that. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to What If Episode 4, which is called What If Iron Man Crashed Into the Grand Master? Now, the story starts off at the ending of Avengers 1, where Tony Stark is pushing the nuke into the Chitauri spaceship and saving everybody, but then falling down through the wormhole to get out. As we remember, he falls in, Hulk jumps up, grabs him, screams, rah, and then wakes him up. Now, in this, what's up, Chris the Flash? How you doing, sir? In this alternate reality, he never went through the wormhole. He went in between the wormhole, which would throw him out of the multiverse, and then he landed in Sakaar. Now, I did like this nice little Easter egg before anyone says anything. World War Hulk was based on that as well. They sent Hulk out, the Illuminati, and Hulk found out, messed up the controls, and he got sent into a random wormhole that got sent to Sakaar as well. So this is about the same purpose. Just no Illuminati, you know, taking care of it. Now, he lands, and he actually stops a race that's happening by the Grandmaster. Grandmaster being voiced by Jeff Goldblum. I'll get to him in a second. As he lands, his armor's messing up, and I did like the whole little Easter egg vibes of Iron Man 1. And he's like, you know, trying to do what he has to do. And he's breaking apart. And then results, he saves Korg. Doesn't know who Korg is, but saves Korg, well-known character in Marvel Universe, and encounters Gamora, who was sent by Thanos to kill him for what he did to Chitauri. And again, Thanos has a very short fuse on things messing up, so he was going after him after that. As this is happening, and in the race, you see a nice little Easter egg of Valkyrie up to that point. And again, they're calling him Iron Mojo Man. They're not calling him Iron Man. He finds out that Pepper's okay. He was worried about Pepper Potts, and he actually found out that, kind of like parallel to what happened before, he found a transmission, Pepper's fine. So up to that point, finding Gamora, seeing Valkyrie, knowing Pepper's okay, what's your thoughts on this episode?
Yeah, I always had that question when we saw the first Avengers. Yo, what happens if Tony never made through? You know, was he going to be dead? Was they going to continue the story? And that's a good one because it actually played into what if. What if he never went through that wormhole when it was closing? Because we saw in the Marvel movies how that affected him in Iron Man 3. He was having some postpartum and couldn't sleep, a little paranoid. And man, it makes you wonder, what if, imagine if he would have stood in that wormhole and stood there in another galaxy or that other multiverse there what he was going to be subject to. So we kind of, that's where one thing the story picks off, that it kind of plays to Iron Man 3. Maybe that's what, and we're kind of seeing what he was, and maybe that's him dreaming of what could have been happening, what he thought might have happened to him. So that's a good tie-in to that. And then going into the World War Hulk, also talking about a different part of the world, a different canyon, also Thor 3, and playing it as well with that world. I like Jeff Klonberg. His character, he's a kooky, go goofy. I know people might not want the comedy part, but it's a little bit of everything. I like the part that was there. The big race, instead of the fighting the grand champion, where it would have been Hulk instead.
Yeah.
I get it. I like it. And I also like that Thanos is still ruthless. He's going to send his daughter to go after the one guy that actually defeated him. And when he finds out it's a mortal, he's hell-bent. Go find me this guy. And that's where we could go. And I like to see Valkyrie was there as well, because it's also tying into the story that she left, even in that timeline, from Asgard.
That's right. And then this, remember, this storyline continues. Thor Dark World is happening right now in this timeline. The Captain America Civil War is happening in this timeline, minus Tony Stark. So this is still continuing on, but we're just going on the fact that Tony Stark did not pop up. So I thank you for bringing that up. Like, again, I was thinking about Thor Dark World and Ant-Man. Everything else is happening. Just take out Tony Stark in the equation. So no Iron Man 2, no Iron Man 3, no Mandarin or fake Mandarin, or like all that stuff is happening. So I want to put that out there. Grandmaster sees that Gamora is trying to kill Stark, so they put them together. He sees Korg, and Stark sees the conditions of how the Grandmaster is treating the people. That's just basically Mad Max. And he plans an escape, but with Gamora as well, because knowing that Gamora is a killer, you can use her on your side. He constructs an Iron Man armor off the pieces that he finds, thus making a point that it doesn't really matter where he is. He just makes an Iron Man armor if he feels like it. Basically a Hulkbuster armor. But the part to race to the title of Sakaar's ruler, whoever wins, he actually tricked the Grandmaster in saying, if I win a race, then I rule Sakaar. If you win the race, then you do whatever you want, Grandmaster, because that's who you are. Nice little Easter egg, and people that don't know this, give a shout to Beth B here. Hey, Cam, stopping by to say hi again. Live Marvel Comics in general, true story of all my sons are names after characters. Nice.
If you want to put the names,
I would appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome.
Nice little Easter egg here that people don't really say out loud. Marvel doesn't really say it as much either. The Grandmaster with the Collector with Ego are all Celestials. They don't look Celestial, but they're all Celestial. That means they're millennia old. So I want to put that out there. This guy's been there for a long ass time. I never liked the Grandmaster, but I've never liked the Collector either. So it kind of goes in a mixed bag for me personally. The race starts is a bloody, bloody race back and forth. People are going back and people are trying to survive. Grandmaster's cheating. His bodyguard, Topaz, has the staff. And I didn't know what that staff was until we find out later in life. In the end, Iron Man, and because of Gamora and giving her a speech to state, like, we are not our fathers. I am not my father. He and you are not your father. So you could be better than what you are. Thus doing parallel of how Peter Quill kind of talked to Gamora to get her out of that evil thing as well. So it's just same timeline of speech, just different person doing it. In the end, Valkyrie slams into Topaz, which makes Topaz let go of her staff after he won. And Tony Stark won, and Grandmaster didn't want to give it up. And everyone's booing. He's like, I don't care. I'm the Grandmaster. I don't really care. And here we go. I'm going to put the names of people here.
Nice.
Ronan, Lucien, and Osric. Killian. Nice. Beautiful name.
Nice.
Beautiful
person. Nice, Bat. Awesome.
And in the end of it, the staff lands on the foot of the Grandmaster. He puddles. And Gamora and Tony Stark have a plan to go after Thanos. Thanos is right in front of Tony Stark and Gamora. Gamora is going to bring him in. She jumps. He drops. He throws the staff. And then she hits him with the staff, basically melting him. In a post-credit scene, we see the Grandmaster begging Topaz to pick up the puddle. Like, pick me up. Come on. Pick me up. Fix me up. So after all that, what were your thoughts on this episode?
Yeah, when you mentioned about different person story who said the same message, it shows us that no matter what multiverse, he will still be Iron Man. No matter what different multiverse of reality, and also they're always going to have issues with their parent or with their father. Yeah. No matter what it is in what world, they're always going to rebel. It may be, and maybe in a what if, they're the evil rebelling where maybe Thanos is the good guy, but vice versa. There's always going to be a rebellion between daughter and father, and even issues with Tony and Howard Stark. And of course, he still is Iron Man. So I like that aspect. And at the end of the day, no matter what, in different universe, they kill Thanos is such that guy that everybody wants to eliminate no matter what. They'll even conspire to work for, granted, Gamora and Tony never met. You know, we see in the Avengers later down that, you know, they're going to be all teaming up to go against Thanos. But at the end of the day, they're always going to be destined to have an alliance to stop that one foe. And is this one, it's going to be Thanos again. For the Grandmaster part, he's still alive. He turned into some puddle. Like, so that makes you wonder, is Thanos really dead then after he got zapped? He got hit, melted? That's a big what if.
That's a big what if, because again, I think it did, because we have to remember this is the story before the Watcher picks him up and everything else. So I'm guessing they made him into a puddle and then took the stones, made the Infinity Crusher, crushed the stones, and then melted the hands. But at the same time, going to the same magical dwarf that's in Iron Man Ragnarok. You remember the guy that Thanos cut off his hands, but in that universe, he still had his hands. So I did like that. Like, I don't know. That part I do want to see. Like, how the hell did Iron Man and Gamora get to all the way over there to the forge to find him in order to melt it? That's the part I want to know. And who had the idea for the Infinity Crusher? Who made it up? Was it Tony Stark? Was it somebody? Was it Korg? Korg has a weird ability to tell you some technical things, which, you know, a lot of questions.
He's smart. We smote him in other past episodes where Korg knew the schematic of the code. So he said, I'm not just a pretty face, pretty much saying I'm not just a piece of rock. There is, you know, so maybe Korg is very a high intelligence of supreme intelligence there from that planet. So, yeah, saludo.
Thank you, salute. Sir. Thank you, Reacciona Puerto Rico. Como está, señor? Great person. Great information about Puerto Rico and from around the way. Now, we have a nice little Easter egg. I like to give out an Easter egg per episode, so let me see if I can find the right one.
Today, we're going to talk about the Easter eggs and references during What If Season 2, Episode 4. So, we're going to be talking spoilers, and this will be your spoiler warning. So, first of all, this episode is taking place on Sakaar with the Sakaar Grand Prix, which a lot of the Easter eggs and references have to do with racing movies, especially Death Race. And like Tony says, this is an intergalactic NASCAR. And also, with Tony being in this, he did race in Iron Man 2 with the Formula 1 cars. Some of the scenes kind of reminded me of stuff from Speed Racer, especially when they go down the big ramp. And I'm sure there's references to other racing movies, so let me know what you saw down in the comments. When Tony Stark is talking about losing a friend, he's talking about Phil Coulson. When Tony is talking to Valkyrie in the bar, they reference A Demon in a Bottle, which is a comic book storyline where they focus on Tony Stark's alcoholism. Because in the comics, for a while, Tony Stark was an alcoholic. And when Tony builds his new suit in the Sakaar junk, uses similar shots to like how he built his first suit in the cave, even using the same music.
Yeah, that's right. With the alcoholism. Remember when he was drinking the scotch when he was working on in I believe Iron Man 1, you know, getting into You're right. Good one there. I didn't think about that.
And we give a shout out to that person. I remember the name at the end of it. Now going on to episode 5.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I want to say episode 4. For me, it wasn't that great. It was very goofy. But again, I understand why they wanted to put it out there because they needed to do a quota from last year. So with that, with that in said, sure. Good episode, whatever. Now we're going to episode 5. What if Captain Carter fought the Hyper Stomper? Now, this is another continuation of season 1 where Captain Carter in the post-credit scene was looking inside the what's it called? The Lemur and checking it out. The second we come back to it, we see that the Hydra Stomper is activated and they have to get the hell off the boat. He's shooting like a freaking Gundam, just going out of nowhere. Captain Carter throws the shield at a certain angle that hits the helmet, which opens up, and you see Steve Rogers looks exactly the same, but just skinny with a beard. I'm like, oh cool. So they fight and they try to run away, and they do run away. They jump into the water after he destroys the whole freaking boat. Nick Fury tells him if the Hydra Stomper is real, it's only been a rumor and has been going on since 1953. And they explain something that's different from the Peggy storyline for everything else. In this storyline, after Carter disappeared, Bucky and Rogers went on a exodus to go from Hydra place to Hydra base to Hydra base all around the world to stomp them all out, which kind of makes you think there is no Hydra in this future. There is none, because Bucky and Steve wipe them all out. I like that. The last one is the one that they lost Rogers. And from 1953 until now, he is taking the place of the Winter Soldier, doing all the terrible acts that Winter Soldier did from 1953 and up. So I did like that. He is the Hydra Stomper, aka the Winter Soldier. Now, they, after a hard-fought battle, and after doing a nice little reference as well, and we're going to stop at a point right here, they go up into the air, and the Hydra Stomper gets so far up that, as a la Iron Man 1, it freezes, I think, and then falls down, and they capture him. And before the Widow says the reveal of the Hydra Stomper, what were your thoughts on the episode as a whole? I mean,
up to that point. up to that point. Yeah, just to see continuation again with the Hydra Stopper. What if the Truth Serum, well, because it was Howard Stark who was part of that, getting Steve Rogers Super Soldier Serum. If they didn't have the Super Soldier Serum, was that an alternate plan, putting him into that Iron Man suit? And which I like about it, because it makes you think maybe that's another way of getting a Super Soldier through the metal. Now, of course, I like they switch role as the Winter Soldier. And we saw Bucky Carter go in and destroy all those Hydra bases. Hydra doesn't exist. And of course, that means S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't fall, as we saw later down in the other cinema universe, that they infiltrate S.H.I.E.L.D. and it becomes a mess with Sola and all that good stuff. That's not going to happen so far here. But Nick Fury is still the keeping secrets among secrets. I like that they give that homage to when they did Captain America Winter Soldier in the beginning of the boat. Where he sends on, and of course, there is a separate mission for Black Widow, because Fury sends her to find out who is this. They know who is this Hydra Stomper. A second mission, if you remember that Steve Rogers gets mad with Natasha because she's downloading and getting, and goes, that wasn't the mission. No, I have my own. I have my orders. So they've got a little bit homage to Winter Soldier there. They're mixing stuff up, but changing the characters and the plot. Which I, you know what? I like it. I followed it immediately with that. I like the reference that he gets up there and the suit malfunctions, because they don't know. This is old technology. So they don't know the limitation of that Hydra Stomper altitude-wise. So that was cool, too, to see that there. It kind of brought some realism where he falls down and he has to get rebooted. Now they're going to review to Carter. And we're going to see later down that she's still have a love feeling, man. Mm-hmm. The feeling is mutual between Carter and Rogers, which is, you love it. And that's where the story takes from there. And to that point, I'm invested even more because I'm following the story pattern. So I want to see what's coming up now.
Of course. And I want to put this out as well, because the Hydra bases were destroyed, time shifted slightly. Bucky is, because if you remember in Civil War, the senator was the main leader of Hydra, but he was acting like he was the victim. In this one, Bucky is the senator, which is like 90 years old. Holy crap. And he's the senator, and Crossbones is there, but he's not evil. So it all depends on the situation that makes a person evil or not. So I did like that part. And Bucky's trying to talk to the Hydra Stomper, like, hey, man, it's me, Bucky. It's me, Rogers. It's Bucky. Let's have a drink. And then everyone that I've seen this with all said the same thing. Like, when Hydra Stomper was pointing at Bucky, everyone's like, no, don't kill Bucky. Please don't kill Bucky. When he put it down, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. No. So when Carter came in, and that's how the fight started, where he went up in the air and got knocked out. We continue on with this. We find out that it wasn't Hydra that picked up Rogers in 53. It was the Red Room. It was the same facility that trained Black Widow. And she understood the technology, and she told Carter, this is a Russian roulette with this machine. It's not only him keeping him young, it's keeping him alive. If we take him out of the ship, if we take him out of the suit, it will kill him. And every time they turn him on, it's a Russian roulette to see if it works, because they don't understand the mechanics. They just know how to turn him on. So that kind of tells you that the Red Room probably stole Hydra technology, took it for themselves, and then put it out there. So I did love that. Rogers comes back. They have a nice little, like you said, they had a nice little talk. They want to kiss each other and everything else. They go all the way to Sokovia. I think it was in Sokovia. Yeah, it was Sokovia, where there's a secret Red Room base. It was abandoned by USSR, so they took it over. They go over there. When I saw that, when everyone was all USA looking and all the dolls, I love America, and I was like, this is a creepy ass shit.
Yeah.
Going through there, Carter's going through there, they're about to kiss, then all of a sudden a baby pops her hand out and shooting out a dart. It stings for Carter, but it would normally knock out any other person. So they're fighting back and forth. Carter, and by the way, the cinematography between Carter, the Hydra Stomper, and Widow, and the Hydra Stomper doing a nice little spiral into Carter and trying to help each other and just going back and forth. Carter, Rogers powers down, and you see Carter run after him, but getting shot by hundreds of darts. Widow, which is a kind of a weird blooper, like Widow is right between Carter and Roger, not getting shot by darts. The second they leave, dart campaign, like, and she's down. When she's down, she wakes up. Carter and Black Widow are awake. They see Rogers, mission accomplished. They see Melina Mostakov, which is the original, which is basically the Iron Widow, which was the same woman from the movie, from Black Widow.
Yes, yes.
I forgot what her name was, but it was the Iron something.
Melina. Now,
thank you, Melina. So she is now the leader of the Red Room and the Widows. And I did love where Natasha's like, that's my mom-ish. You know, that's yeah, whatever. She did love talking about, I'm going to dissect you, kiss you, or kill you to Carter. She's like, you're probably going to do all three. They find out that this was all a ruse, that Rogers was planted in there to bring Carter and to bring Widow and everything else. And thus the fight starts. The Widows and Melina directing the Widows against Black Widow and Carter, Hydra Stomper 3. And at this point, they're going at it hard as hell. Melina is telling all the Widows, Black Widow's secrets. Like, hit the back of the knee. She had an accident when she was a kid. Like, oh, crap. So there's that. And in the end, I did like the little add-on. Man, y'all going deep. Thank you. I did like the reference when she grabbed the baby's hand and then used the baby's hand to just shoot everybody. Bah, 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 bah. That's it. Done. Melina and her badass Avengers 2 Black Widow light-up outfit is fighting back and forth. And she's more of a match to Black Widow. At the same time, Carter gives up. She's like, I'm not going to fight you anymore. I love you. I just want to be with you. I'm done. I'm done with this. But then Carter Rogers, in that moment of same way as Winter Soldier, gets a moment of clarity and doesn't say goodbye to Carter. Just puts his helmet back on and then flies directly into the Red Room. At the same exact time, Natasha's about to die. She grabs the grappling hook a la Batman, shoots it. And I'm thinking, okay, she's just going to either like grab it to like jump her ass out of there. Nope. She wraps around the leg of the woman, and you see her ass go all the way up to the Red Room saying, stop, stop, stop. To this, and Roger's like, fuck you, bitch. Ah! Just basically Independence Day going right through it. I did like that. Rogers is gone, but we find out that from the show, Rogers can go through things and not die. So it cuts to everything falling down. Carter saving Natasha. They getting the hell out of there. Carter is stealing Tony Stark's car because sure, because she knows that Rogers is out there and she's gonna find him. At that moment, the Watcher's like, oh, you know, that she thinks the story's ending, but it's just the beginning. Someone pulls her in. A red energy pulls her in. She's like, what? And the Watcher's like, what the hell? Then you see her being teleported with a Nick Fury that looks like a huntsman saying, is that she? And a Scarlet Witch, she might be the one to save our kingdom, maybe even save our world. And she's just screaming, yeah, Watcher! Watcher! End it there. So what's your thoughts on the episode, Mr. Kevin?
Yeah, I like that homage there to, I believe, one of the newer movies where I think if it's with Scarlett Johansson with the town, the U.S. town. It's recently too. I forgot the name of the movie. That town with the USA, of course, they were talking about with the song Mellencamp and all that. I like that little bit of Easter egg there where they threw that there about, you know, I learned that from Dad Rock from Hawkeye. Yeah. The interesting part though that when they were talking in the cabin of getting help and trying to reverse that Russian roulette. Power down. They didn't want to get help from Tony Stark in this world. They were like, well, Banner, two of the most smartest minds that we've known of, at least in the universe that we're trying to reverse that. Didn't even want to. So I thought they were not on speaking terms or dislike. We kind of saw it at the end when he took his car. He's like, I don't care. I'm just gonna take his car. Yeah, so he's there. He's around. So I thought they were like totally disconnected. Where I don't even want to see you, not even in a painting. But no, as we saw later on, they're working together, but they refuse to get their help. That was interesting to me there because you know if you want someone to love and get out of there, you want them to, you know, you want them anyone to help you to try to get them out of that Hydra Stomper. Also, I love the fact where the Red Room. also talking to Black Widow. So in that universe, Black Widow does go through her procedure, maybe sterile, you know, because we found out that what she has to go through as a widow, she gets sterile and all that stuff. As Melina is still the mother figure of the widows, training and getting that program. So that assassination program exists in this timeline with the widows. So, I'm listening to that because that means it's going to show more stuff because, as you know, they didn't show the widows die, the girls, but we saw a lot of debris fall on them. So we don't know what happened with them. You know, all there's more. Because remember, the Red Room kept moving. It was a floating base that kept moving, and they were sending out their tentacles around the world. So that's to be continued in that storyline, in that universe. Then when we get to the end, I'm like, again, I mean, I understand the Watcher is supposed to watch, but I'm like, dude, you're not even doing nothing. You're standing and go, what the hell? I'm like, it kind of takes us out because it's breaking the fourth wall, which is kind of cool because, you know, I looked down and when I heard him say that, I jumped up to look at it the first time I watched it. And I go, and then she gets pulled into that 16th century world, Renaissance, Marvel. And I said, okay, I'm now want to see the continuation to the story. All in all, good episode because we mentioned all the different things that it touched. And also, it left more what ifs on that episode. What if the widow program continued? You know, and of course, Natasha tells her, Steve is still alive out there. He's still out there. We're going to help you search. Similar to when the Winter Soldier finished, Falcon said, I'm going to help you look for him. So they're going to continue looking for Bucky. In this case, is the other way around, looking for Steve Rogers. So that's another continuation. Now you want to see if Agent Carter gets back to her universe to look for her love, Steve Rogers. And that's just going to tie into that next episode. All in all, really good episode because it makes you want to do more. And now, again, what do you want these episodes to do? Want you to watch the next one. Give me more. Craving more, and that's what it did. And that's what you call episodic episode storytelling where it animated or not excellent.
True. I did like, and I forgot to say this as you see this in the background, they did reenact the first Avengers movie, except there was no Hulk, but there was a Wasp. And I was kind of pissed. I'm like, what the hell is the damn Hulk? But then they said Dr. Banner. So Dr. Banner is not Hulk. He's just Dr. Banner. Sure. Whatever. I did like the episode because, again, we can go off the fact that if they're copying the same, but they're just injecting Captain Carter and tweaking a couple stories, there might be a season 3 where she fights Ultron. There might be a season 3 where she goes to Infinity War and Rogers is there to help. There is a Thanos in this world because there was a Loki in this world. So it just all steps up. We can have Ego. We can have so many different things that Captain Carter can do. And this can be a novella storyline where at the end they're together because we remember Captain America does get with Peggy at the end of the story, but that's at the end of the story. And by the look of this, Captain Carter's story is just beginning. This is just the second chapter of maybe 3 or 4 more before we get to the end of Peggy Carter, which I hope they give her an end. I hope they just copy paste the same exact things that Captain America did. Just she went back in time. Subs, BX, you live tonight for live going with Joe and them. Yes, you are.
That's your Joe, by the way. That's your Joe that they're talking about. Joe Blanco has been phenomenal. I want to give shout out. I know we're doing shout out for the PUWF. They're a hit right now.
Thank you, sir. We'll see you next week, next Thursday. Not 4 hours though. We're not doing that again. I already scolded my crew for that shit. Now we're moving on to episode 6, and this one is very. It touches on the things of my soul, and I'll get you that for a second, ladies and gentlemen. I put it up there. There we go. But before we continue, we got an Easter egg.
Episode 6 of What If Season 2, What If Kahori Reshaped the World, is the next episode in the series that has an end. Captain Carter is back in What If Captain Carter Fought the Hydra Stomper, the only sequel episode to What If Season 1. So we're going to be comparing this episode to the main MCU timeline, and we're going to be talking spoilers from Episode 5, so this will be your spoiler warning. Episode starts off with Captain Carter fighting along the Avengers in the first Avengers movie when they fought the Chitauri in New York. However, there's no Hulk, but there is a Wasp, meaning the Wasp formed with the first Avengers. But when we pick up to the Winter Soldier stuff from this episode, instead of Steve and Sam doing laps, it's Black Widow doing laps until Peggy Carter pulls up and tells her that she doesn't run in circles, and then picks her up for the mission. Then after the mission, Peggy Carter gets mad at Nick Fury, just like how Steve did during Winter Soldier. Steve got mad at Nick Fury for having Nat have a different mission that wasn't told to him. At the end of the episode, after Steve sacrifices himself to destroy the Red Room, saving Captain Carter and Black Widow, Peggy knows that Steve is out there and still alive, just like how at the end of the Winter Soldier, Steve knows he's still out there and was going to go look for him.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it parallels.
Yeah, first time watching that, ladies and gentlemen. So it's not that we're copy and pasting. I didn't watch it, so you know, so no, that's interesting.
I remember my girlfriend's like, "How the hell you know all this stuff?" I'm like, "I just watch a lot of TV and remember it like a freaking." Yes. But ladies and gentlemen, episode 6: What if Kahori reshaped the world? And I did like this episode because they used a lot of references from the Mohawk tribe. They use a lot of cultural and geological references and everything else. This thing starts where Ragnarok did not start as expected with Thor and Hela. Ragnarok started a hell of a lot earlier than expected, where the end came. And as Odin is holding the Tesseract, he tries to use it as a shield, and it explodes. And Asgard is gone. So there is no Thor Ragnarok in this world. There is no Thor 1, Thor 2, nothing. That's just everyone's dead, whatever. The Tesseract gets transported all the way to America in this, and I can't tell you exactly the time frame, but it's pre-colonial America, so we can say maybe 15 to 1600s. Let's say like that. You know, shout out to you, Richard Chads. Oh, thank you, sir. I don't like apples; it makes my stomach hurt. Now, but it did land, and I have to say this exactly. The word is Haudenosaunee Confederacy in pre-colonial America. And the time of that and the history of that, it landed. People were treating that as sacred. We cut to Kaori in a nice little world with her family and nice long shore houses, doing their thing, living life. They're having fun. She runs a lot, and the brother's like, I'm getting out of tired. They go to the sacred land, and it's full of skeletons. She tells them that. The brother's like, this is cursed. And she tells him the only reason it's cursed is because no one's here to claim the bodies and clean it. Like, that's the only reason it's cursed. So they go deeper into the sacred lands. And the brother's like, this is sacred. You shouldn't be here. It's not fair. I mean, not do that. They get to the so-called cursed lake, and it's like three ducks. Like, they even say it like, this is a cursed lake? Like, there's even ducks here. Like, how is it cursed? And they're like, quack, quack. I'm like, yeah, that's true. How the hell is this cursed? But then at the same exact time, conquistadors from Spain are walking around there. We don't know exactly when they got there, but they got there. They hear gunshots, and they smell fire, so they run back to the village. The conquistadors have already captured their tribe. And it's really sad. They see one of them, and they run. One guy, I forgot what his name was, is pointing a gun at one of the women, like, you better tell me where the fountain, where is it? Where's the fountain of youth? Because they're looking for the fountain of youth, which means it's a parallel to Ponce de León.
Yes.
I do like that. This is around the Ponce de León times, before Columbus. Now, after doing that, her and the brother run away, Kaori and Malta run away into back to the forest. The conquistador shoots Kaori in the shoulder. And at the same time, they find an underground cavern. That's the real cursed lake. So they found it. So the conquistadors shot her. She fell down into the lake and got a surge of energy in her, and then got transported. And I want to say this really specifically. She got transported to another part of the galaxy. She did not get transported to another dimension. She did not get transported to a little parallel universe. She got transported to another part of the universe, because the Tesseract's purpose is to take you to a certain part of space and to take you there. If you need an example, Red Skull, Captain America. Grabbed the Tesseract. He didn't go to another dimension. He just went to a part that he got stuck. And he stayed there forever. So I'll put that out there. Then they explain the history. Back in the day, people would get in the water, but they would never come out. And they would be transported to this sky world. And they would call it the sky world. But the people that were not transported thought it was a curse, thus starting a great war between warring tribes. Until they finally absolved and at peace. But they all agreed that this place is freaking cursed. We're not going to go near it. We're not going to fight over this anymore. Done. So that was the history of that, all the tribes and why they stopped. We get to the Kauri and the new people hanging out with them. Atarax, which is a person, he explains that we have been here forever. We don't die. We don't age. We eat from the land. Everything that we eat gives us powers. And it basically gives you telekinetic powers, but space control. That's two different things than telekinetics. Mind control, telekinetics, space control. Two different things. So it gives him space control. And she, like a Saiyan in a fucking planet, just picks that up real quick. Because again, it's a 30-minute episode, so you gotta kind of compress things. They go on the hunt. They realize that the hunt is no more than they aggravate buffalo, but they're like really blue, crystal-ass buffalo, like humongous mastodons of buffalo. And they activate them to go after them because they can just pick it. Like, no, it's more fun to just pick it. They can run fast. They can leap. They can grab things. Kauri is being trained how to do it, and she picks it up so fast that they tell her, don't go in the front, because if you go in the front, they're going to get trampled. She goes to the front because you have to take a curve a la Need for Speed, and then uses her space powers to stop one, take a whole bunch out, flip him over, and he keeps going. Doesn't even say thank you, but doesn't need to say thank you because he got violated. So he just goes away. Everyone gets four fruits from the back of the animal. She has like about 50. From that point, what was your thoughts on the episode so far, Kevin?
Yeah, seeing that they're touching some real history with the Spanish conquistadors around the 1500s with Ponce de León, similar there with Don Rigo. We'll name him. We'll find that character's name in a bit. And what they did there, the way bringing a little realism where the conquistadors came and really attacked a lot of the native tribe and, you know, that was touching little strings, because if you're Native American Indian race, you know, it's like, wow, just to see that in animated form, I kind of appreciated that. I know this is not the real storyline, but just reminding, I appreciated that being, you know, and I loved it being Mayan, and of course having that Taino blood and Mayan Indian blood in our family and our race. I kind of was like, okay, I'm listening to the story. I want to see what's going on. Makes you wonder where Kohane goes down to that world. It's kind of like a peaceful heaven, even though, you know, of that point of time, where everyone's there, where they're, like you said, no death, no, you know, they don't age, they eat off the land. That's what the Indians wanted. They wanted to live off the land, be in peace. So that's a symbolic message that was in that episode that you're listening to. Also, where she sees where everyone's coming from up in the sky. I love that she tried to find, saw the, how you use those powers, manipulate, like you said, not kinetic, but knowing how to manipulate with objects. She tried to, with branches, make a ladder. So you could tell she's thinking, that mind is working rapidly to try to get a stairway, like a la Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven, trying to get a stairway out, but she falls. Mm-hmm. So she's learning right there how to, and then when they tell her about don't get in front and knowing the power, her instincts came in when she uses and lifts the buffalo over her, get all these enough to feed the whole village. She's showing, not only that, she's showing how to unlock her powers, but she's also showing that she's a leader. She's becoming now, jumping into a leaderhood of a lead. And we'll see that as that episode begins there, because now she's a leader and she's inspired. I could help feed. And you know what? The love of her people and her tribe, she has a purpose that she needs to get back to her people, because there is some issues going on. They're getting annihilated by the Spanish explorers, and she needs to get back there. And that's where we kick off here. What's next after everyone gets ready for that feast?
Exactly. And by the way, the guy, the conquistador's name is Rodrigo Alfonso Gonzalo. Just Rodrigo Gonzalo. Mm-hmm. And that point of the episode, I forgot to tell him that he says, like, oh, 15 is the highest that someone has gone up with the branches. They've done 15. But she's, again, picked it up real fast. She wants to go home. She's happy with her powers, but she wants to go home because she realizes that her duty as a tribe member, and again, she's in the wolf tribe. The same tribe, apparently, as the character Echo, the same family, Ooh. Same bloodline as them, because Echo is a relative of Kaori. I want to put that out there. That's why the language is not Spanish. It's more Native American. It's more Native, and I love that. And this specifically says, the director's like, this is a continuation, or this is a storyline of Kaori's people, but 500 years ago. I'm like, all right, that's pretty cool. So in doing so, she remembers her duty. Even if she has these powers, if she's not helping her people and protect the land, then it's not worth anything. You guys, she tells the people, you guys are just lazy. You guys are just happy being here. You guys have even tried to do this. But they also remind her that if the planet wants to help you, the planet will help you, right? And at that moment when she's getting the conviction of feeling that everything is lost, the planet helps her and kind of makes her understand how to control the portal. Because the portal, again, what we forgot to say, when Surtur cracked this Tesseract and Odin died, it cracked. So it's just spewing out pure space energy, just unraw, unadulterated space energy. So it's a Tesseract's purpose is to take you from A to B. A Tesseract's purpose is to not be open for all eternity from one dimension to another. We'll put that out there. And that's why it's always open, because it's cracked. So it's always opening from A to B. The door is always open. So she understands it, controls it. She tells people, are you going to come with me? No? All right, deuces, I'm out. So she goes and defends her people from everyone getting taken back to the boats. She uses her powers, whisks away another one. Rodrigo calls her a bruja and tries to attack. And this guy is ruthless, because after all his guys are dying, he's like, no, shoot the cannons. Like, what? Shoot the cannons. And all his people, without even saying anything, they drop to the floor because they know that that's probably how she thinks. Like, this guy's going to kill us. The cannons, and she's using a shield to hold it. But I did like the nice little thing that one cannon kind of, like, got through and just dinged her on the head. Like, bonk! I'm like, oh! And I was telling my girlfriend, like, a cannon at that speed would have just, if it would have not stopped, it would just took her whole head off. Like, yeah. It's nothing. And from the stopping, it's just enough to be, like, a giant metal ball hit you in the face. Okay. Rodrigo goes up all confidently. Ha, ha, ha. Yo gané porque yo soy España. Blah, blah, blah. All right. So he goes up to them. And then when he looks up after when he's about to kill her, you see, I did love that one little Easter, the little thing of everyone, all those blue eyes, all in the trees like ninjas. And they come in like the Flash. And they're running and running and running. And, like, and they're going in and destroying things. And you hear the Watcher, but before that, Rodrigo, in some desperate act of like defiance, gets out of the sands and tries to capture Kaori one more time, and she kills him. That's it, boom, because he just does the hand. I'm like, everyone's saying the same thing. Why? You lost. All right, whatever. This is the part that I love, conviction. When a person has a conviction, they have a purpose, and their purpose can either be on the path of good or on the path of evil. It doesn't matter what path you are. It all matters about conviction. And her annihilating the whole armada, because she annihilated the whole armada with her crew. They just dumped them out of the water. And the people that survived were like, we give up. Time passes. An emissary tells the queen, Lo Gonzalez brothers, this guy and this guy have left, but they have not come back. The Gonzalez brothers have gone to South America, this guy. So they're using accurate people that went to Spain during South America and upper North America. And they're using it and incorporating, saying that they went, but they never came back. The queen, someone in España, someone in my heart del mundo. I can't do a Spanish accent, sorry. Then out of nowhere, Kaori, using her powers to transport herself from North America across the pond all the way to Spain, is telling her, look, we're here. The world is rich, but it's not yours and it's not mine. We're here to share it. Oh, and the queen's like, you're trying to order me in my own kingdom, which I did love that she took her powers and just lifted her up. And her first idea was to cover up her dress and not show her vagina. So I was like, oh, that's cool. I respect that. But I did like also this. You felt that the queen of Spain lost. She said it too. We can do a peace treaty, or we can bring our people and just wipe you off the map, which is something that. And then I did also, I like that. Here's a peace treaty. Here's a blanket. Here's the peace treaty. We're not giving you gold or money or slaves. Here's a blanket. We want peace. And they have a portion there. Then out of nowhere, Supreme Streams comes out and he says the line that I love that he says, oh, you got world peace already. That won't last. And I need you for something. And they cut it right there. So what were your thoughts on the episode from the conviction, the fight, the fact that her race can now take over the whole world in around 1500 AC and just do what the hell they want. And no one can stop them.
No one. And I like to see that. I saw that there and it's like, yo, wow. You know, we all know the story how the New World was conquered, was bought over, and how they took everything. All, you know, all the history from all up and down from all the Americas when they discovered all the gold, all the crusades that came on, and all the stuff that we know in history, how, you know, Spain and Europe and the Vatican and all that got all that gold and all that artifact from los indios, los otros. And to see that there, one thing I wanted to say, I had the question, did she learn how to speak Spanish with the surviving members that she gave mercy on the land, or did she, or was a Tesseract that taught her to speak the language?
It was her, because the Tesseract can't teach you anything. The Tesseract can take you from one place to the next. So she actually learned Spanish, and let's say in 1 year time, because it takes about 6 months to a year for a boat to get from one place to the next and back. So say like 1 year, 2 years time, they try to conquest or try to conquer North America and South America. And in those 2 years, around 1 to 2 years, they've failed. And it gives her plenty of time to, like I said, take a prisoner, learn their language. And then, that's the question for you before I continue.
Mm-hmm.
Now take out Kaori and put Kaori as a white person. The story is exactly the same. A person that has more power than another will conquer another race by peace or by force.
By force, right.
So what she's doing in her mind is peaceful, but she's doing the same exact thing they are doing, but in a more non-bloody way. So that's the part I want to tell people. Like, this was a great story, but this can tell you, you can take power over somebody, which you just need the right tools, the right method, and the right time. That's all I got to say about this.
I agree. Because the reason why I asked about the Tesseract taught him, because remember in Avengers 1, when the doctor that was in Thor says, hey, the Tesseract is teaching me so much. What did he? And then Doki asks Barn, what did the Tesseract teach you? That's the reason why I asked that question. That's why I put that out there. But nevertheless, that's not the main thing. That's just a sidebar of the story.
But remember, they have the power of the Tesseract, but they don't have the Tesseract. The Tesseract is still in that lake, stuck. So it's just a portal. So what I think that she learned it by just learning.
Okay. Yeah. Again, that's a little sidebar of that there. I love that she went and talked to her in her language. We could live in peace, you know, or you could be destroyed. You know, let's live in peace. This world is big enough for we can have peace. And I think, you know, sending a message that we don't know exactly, but these Native American all our Indians from the Inca, Aztec, Mayan, Taino, even the American, North American Native Americans wanted to live in peace. And if they would have came to the land, we would have lived amongst us in peace. But they decide to take over and enforce their wills, their beliefs, and all that. That was the story that I like that they said, you know. To the moral of the story, we could do it either by force or by peace. I love that part there. It makes you think of like, what if? Because this is it goes back to the name of the show. Mm-hmm. What if? What if the conquistadors came in the name of peace, really, not privileging? How was this world would have been? What was the reality that would have came out of? So that's again, it goes back to that what if there. Now with Strange coming in, that was another one. I've been looking for you because you achieved peace in such a record time. It kind of puzzled him, like, whoa, you know, like this. Yeah, I want to see this. Right. I want to see this move on the way humanity is. That's kind of much what he kind of been in a sarcastic way. And I wanted to see now what he wants with her. Why is he pulling her? Does he want her? Does he want her with the Tesseract's energy around her? So that was a good question there when it ends there. So we go there. All in all, a powerful message in this story. Very heart touching for me personally, and watching that and makes you wonder about what if, how the whole world or our existence would have been changed. And Marvel touched that. And it was a powerful, without being offensive, without degrading either, because it wasn't offensive or degrading. It's just asking the question, what if the Native or the not Native Americans or the Native Indian tribes in all of the Americas would have not been conquistadored or taken over. So that's a good one. Very powerful one. Very powerful.
And there's also this story can continue to season three, because now we can do the what if, like, what if Kaori keeps trying to reshape the world and get to Wakanda? Because they have tech and they've been doing that for centuries. They've already technologically advanced at the point where Kaori is at right now, but no one knows. That's one. What if the Skrulls land on Earth? That's another thing, because the Skrulls are going to land on Earth eventually in time. What if the Kree's going to land on Earth? What if Ego? What if all these things that we can think of, because we have to take out the Thor storyline and everything Thor-related from the storyline. So everything that's Thor-related, take it out. But there still is Guardians of the Galaxy storyline, Black Widow storyline, Skrulls, Wakanda. So many different things that you can go on. Again, the nine realms weren't destroyed. Only Asgard was destroyed. So there's other eight realms that something can happen. And again, Thanos in time can and will want the stones. So he'll have to go to the reserve and go to that lake and try to get that stone. Try. Because then you have a whole tribe of the last 400 plus odd years that will actually do it. So that's another thing they can go on. They can do their own Infinity War with Native American Avengers and some of that origin. They can do a 1602 just like this and then go on from there. But I like this episode because it showed a what if and reminded us of history that we tend to forget.
Yes.
It actually happened. Doesn't matter if this is a what if. These are things that actually happened in order for you to eat that Burger King and buy that Abercrombie and Fitch shirt. Remember that. We never should forget our history. But with that, what are your final thoughts on episode 4, 5, and 6, Mr. Kevin?
Well, first of all, with episode 6, I wish I could find the Fountain in Youth, like all of us, even though I try to go to St. Augustine, is only an hour away, and I still can't find that damn fountain. But all in all, let's get back in. I just want to throw a little funny out there. All in all, what if every one of these episodes touched the heart and made you ask the question? I know it sounds redundant, ladies and gentlemen, but that's why they named the title. And if you have a show that makes you go back to the name of the title and they're doing their job because they're investing and you're asking that same question of the title of the story. And if you look at it and you analyze it, bingo, circle gets the square, ching, ding, ding. It hit the box. It touched it. And I love it because, again, talking about history, that's kind of untalked about these days, talking it back there, putting some light there, loved it. Also, with talking about some of the what ifs in the other movie lines with Black Widow, all that, with the Hydra Stopper, agents, with Hydra, if they really got captured and failed, who was going to be the next big bad? It asks that question in episode 5. And of course, and it talks about episode 4. What happened if Tony never came through that black hole? So it phenomenal middle part of the series that we loved. We talked about first three, what we thought about it. Then this year, it took it up a notch. Episode 4, 5, and 6 took it up a notch. Now, like, oh, wait a minute. No longer. The nostalgia Christmas stuff is over. Now, let's get into some serious thinking. And I loved it. Alex,
no, I know. And before I say my thoughts, this is what I forgot to put out.
Episode
there.
6 of What If Season 2, What If Kahori Reshaped the World, is the next episode in the series that has an end scene that connects to the other ones. So with that, we're going to be breaking down the ending of the episode and talking about spoilers. So this will be your spoiler warning. So at the end of the episode, Kahori uses the power from the Tesseract, takes down the Spanish soldiers, goes to Spain to face their monarch. But instead of demolishing them and taking over their country, they wanted peace, which changes the world completely, because in this time period, that means because of this power Kahori and her people have, no one would have colonized America, meaning the whole dynamic of this world would change completely. And then we had Supreme Strange come in the end saying he's been looking for her for a long time, which I think means that he's been looking for someone with a good heart. Because with this power, Kahori and her people could have taken over the planet, but instead, they wanted to make peace. I feel like there's two things that could happen here. Either Supreme Strange is already creating his own multiversal team to go against Scarlet Witch and her multiversal team, or Supreme Strange is working with Scarlet Witch. It was the one that told her about Captain Carter.
Again, interesting. We don't know. And we will tell you that when we get when we see episode 7, 8, and 9. But I did, like I said, she didn't want to conquer. She wanted peace. And peace can be viewed by the way of perspective. Let's say like that. I've learned living in the hood, peace can be one or two ways, by blood or by silence. But
right.
My final thoughts on episode 4, 5, and 6, I did like, except for the goofy part of Iron Man, I think that was kind of rushed, but that's just me. Episode 5 was amazing. Very, very structured. The fight scenes were true. If this was live action, that's millions of dollars put into that thing and just production alone. I love that. And the continuation of that, we might have a season 3. Oh, sorry. There's already been confirmed that we're going to have a season 3 in 2024. We were going to say that at the end of the next episode, but that's fine. So that could be Captain Carter continuing on and all these other people continuing on. And if 2024 is coming so fast in summer, that means they're probably going to connect Echo and a couple other things. And I hope Kaori continues in season 3. I want people to see, what if the world was shaped by peace? Let's actually go that way. There's nothing wrong with that. Mind you, we even got, I even forgot about this. What about the Eternals? That's another thing.
I did say that, but you didn't hear me. I did say it. I said Eternals. No, that's cool. Because they were there before the planet kind of structure, according to their storyline.
They started the planet. They shaped the planet by what they did, all that stuff. So that could be something in the future. But I am very happy to see episode 7, 8, and 9, because again, this is going to be. I will say this, because I actually been doing the backwards stuff, the backstage stuff on the side. This season 2 is based on a story. Okay, I want to put that out there. It's not based on woke media, nothing like that. It's based on a story. If you truly understand the story, then you will appreciate the ending. If you don't appreciate the story, then why the hell are you even watching Marvel in the first place? With that, I want to say thank you, Mr. Kevin, for giving me the honor and privilege once again for episode 4, 5, and 6. We got 7, 8, and 9 to go. And after that, if we have something else new, we'll tell you that. With that, ladies and gentlemen, please tell everyone to find your socials, please, sir.
Of course. And of course, you can find me on Sports Jedi Network channel. We, of course, do all the different sports, comics. And of course, like I always tell everyone, may the sports be with you. Thank you so much.
And with me, ladies and gentlemen, Recon Reactions on Twitter, Twitch, and here. Alex Coquito on everything else. Stay healthy. Stay happy. Know that if you find love, love will find you. Find peace, but find it the correct way, because it's a double-edged sword. And remember, Iron Man's a drunk. Someone can go take him to AA. Good night.